May it please the court. I am Bruce Kiley. I represent Weaver's Cove Energy. Weaver's Cove proposes to construct and operate a liquefied natural gas terminal in Fall River, Massachusetts. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, acting under its exclusive authority under Section 3 of the Natural Gas Act, found the Weaver's Cove project to be in the public interest and approved it in July of 2005, subject to an array of conditions, one of which was satisfaction of the requirements of Section 401 of the Clean Water Act. Under the Clean Water Act, applicants for federal projects such as Weaver's Cove need to file applications with the appropriate state agencies, as they have been delegated authority from Congress to review Clean Water Act applications. Here, because the project entailed both Rhode Island and Massachusetts, Weaver's Cove filed an application with the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection in April of 2004, and with the Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management in July of 2004.
What about the 28J letter? Isn't this going to be a quintessential advisory opinion? You all are now considering putting the terminal somewhere else and doing the berth somewhere and putting the pipelines in. We're not even looking. We're looking at what your first choice is, I guess, but the Coast Guard has told you in their letter of recommendation that you can't use that waterway, and then the 28J letter says you're proposing to FERC another location.
Yes, Your Honor, let me address that. That's the questions is one I hear in several courts, and it's pertinent here. First of all, this case involves applications filed with both the Massachusetts DEP and Rhode Island DEP for the project that was filed with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, approved by them, for a discrete amount of dredging in Rhode Island, a discrete amount of dredging in Massachusetts. Weaver's Cove continues to pursue with vigor that permit and that application, and it's run into delay and inaction in a variety of forms, not the least of which is before Massachusetts and Rhode Island here. My client, within the last couple of weeks, announced that it was considering an alternative berth to receive the LNG ships. It is doing that because it has run into both statutory and regulatory hurdles that is trying to clear through a variety of actions in various federal and state courts to clear that up. The action we asked for here is not advisory. We ask you to declare that since these states did not act within the one-year period required for action by the Clean Water Act, that the requirements of Section 401 are deemed
away. Why isn't that argument better made to the Corps of Engineers when they make a decision, which I understand they haven't yet made?
That argument, Your Honor, cannot be made to the Corps of Engineers because the Corps of Engineers has no authority under Section 401 of the Clean Water Act.
The Corps is going to decide whether you get your permit, right?
But the Corps of Engineers cannot decide whether we get the dredging permit unless we've either received a water quality certification from Massachusetts and Rhode Island, or it has been waived, as we argue it has been waived
right
here.
Right, and then
they're going to decide that, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to decide whether it's been waived.
Yeah, why can't they do that?
Because under the amendments to the Natural Gas Act judicial review provisions enacted in the Energy Policy Act of 2005, in cases of inaction by state agencies,
there hasn't been inaction here. Both of them have acted. They've acted perhaps in a tardy fashion, but both of them have acted. Isn't that right?
Well, they acted, but they acted far after the 1 year required.
So where in the statute does it say we have jurisdiction to hear disputes over when the action took place? It doesn't say that. It says when there's inaction. You have action here. You just think that it was too late and has legal consequences. Why doesn't the Corps decide that?
Your Honor, I would respectfully suggest that under both the Clean Water Act, after 1 year passed, for 1 year after the applications were filed, and there was no action by either of these agencies, the requirements of Section 401 were waived. And we respectfully submit that they can't act after the waiver to sort of reinstate the case.
If the conduct of the state agencies constituted a waiver, that's a benefit to you.
Yes, Your Honor. Benefit bestowed upon us by Congress.
In order to present a case to the court, you have to be complaining about an injury, not a benefit.
The injury is that they continue to exercise their authority to regulate Natural Gas Act facilities through the Clean Water Act, even though by the plain and unambiguous terms of the Clean Water Act, their authority to impose Clean Water Act conditions upon my client on this project have been waived.
What is it they're doing? You said the injury is that they're continuing to exercise authority.
Yes, Your Honor.
Meaning what? What have they done?
Well, 2 years after the statutory period had run, Rhode Island, several weeks after we initiated this action in this court, took action to deny the Clean Water Act permit. And we have that on appeal, both in the First Circuit and before the state agency on the substantive merits. But our position is when Rhode Island acted after the one-year period, the waiver had already occurred, and they can't undo that statutory waiver by subsequent action. And Judge Griffith, I say that make the same argument as to Massachusetts.
Have you been denied your permit from the Corps?
No.
No. What gives you reason to think that the Corps won't make the right decision here, according to you?
Because the Corps of Engineers does not have authority to determine whether or not we are entitled to a Clean Water Act permit. The Corps of Engineers acts only under Section 10 of the rules.
The Corps has authority to determine whether waivers occurred. In its own regulations, it talks about waivers.
No, Your Honor, those regulations which the respondents refer to are regulations issued by the Corps, promulgated by the Corps, not under Section 401 of the Clean Water Act. That statute is administered by the Environmental Protection Agency and is delegated to the states. The Corps of Engineers' authority to issue permits resides under Section 10 of the Rivers and Harbors Act and Section 404 of the Clean Water Act. And those regulations at 33 CFR 325 are promulgated under those statutes, not under Section 401, and relate to the technique that the Corps of Engineers chose for processing permits under Section 404 in Section 10 of the Clean Water Act. And they left to themselves, and the courts have said, the Corps of Engineers can decide
make this waiver argument to the state agencies when you were still dealing with them after the date had passed?
Your Honor, under the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission order that approved this project, they had in there a requirement. The Weaver's Cove worked cooperatively with all state agencies and federal agencies in obtaining their permits. So even though after the 1 year,
once the 1 year waiver period passes, why don't you bring suit then? Why'd you wait so long?
Your Honor, because we were trying to honor the FERC requirement that we work cooperatively with the states, and we worked cooperatively for 2 years trying to get it done. Only when they said they would no longer process our water quality certificate applications do we then bring to this court this action under the new judicial review provisions.
Basically, you want us to tell the court to disregard what the states have done, right?
No, Your Honor. What I would like this court to do is enforce the provisions of Section 401 of the Clean Water Act and say that the inaction by Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
We're saying it to the court, really. Right? That's who matters.
If you declare that the requirements of Section 401 are waived, the Corps of Engineers is then in a position to move forward to process our dredging permits. And it can decide with its own discretion whether or not it wants to pay attention to or pay any or not the post-waiver action by either of these two state agencies. It can decide. That's what its regulation says.
That's exactly why we're concerned that anything we'd say would be advisory. The Corps can decide that.
No, Your Honor, with all due respect, the key point here is the Corps of Engineers cannot move forward at all without either a water quality certification or waiver as provided in the Clean Water Act. They cannot move forward.
But they decide whether there's been a waiver.
No.
No?
No. They can decide whether or not.
You're saying they have to wait for us to decide whether there's a waiver?
They have to wait for us to receive a water quality certification or waiver. A waiver under Section 401.
A waiver from who? Piece of paper coming from who? Saying there's a waiver.
I'm asking this court to issue that piece
and
of
you
paper.
Say, so in all cases, that's how it has to happen? You have to get
no, under the natural.
Whenever there's a claim of waiver, you come to the D.C. Circuit to get that stamped and then take it to the court?
Under the provisions of 15 U.S.C. Section 717 R.D., right. The Congress, when it passed the Energy Policy Act, was trying to deal with state agencies who refused to act in a timely way, or state courts that refused to act in a timely way, and they set about to solve that in two ways. One, they took away from the state courts any jurisdiction to hear a review of action or inaction by state agency, and gave to the United States Court of Appeals original exclusive jurisdiction to deal with cases of agency action or inaction. There's a subsection, the section under which we brought our petition, which is 717RD2, which says, in the case of agency inaction, review is before the D.C. Circuit. And that is why we brought the petition here.
Review of what?
Review of state agency inaction when they're acting pursuant to federal law, which they are when they're acting pursuant to the Clean Water Act.
But you don't deny that they have acted here?
I don't deny they acted. They acted two and a half years after the statutory deadline.
They acted by issuing an order.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, D3 says, if the court finds that such order or action is inconsistent with the federal law governing such permit, it would prevent the construction and so on, the court shall remand the proceeding to the agency to take appropriate action consistent with the order. What would we remand?
Your Honor, under D3, I don't think the D3 deals with the situation of inaction. It's an order of action of an agency. Here we're dealing with inaction by each of these agencies. And the remedy here, the statute does not have to deal with the remedy. The remedy here is already written into the Clean Water Act.
We're dealing with your theory of the case is we're dealing with inaction over the relevant period, an action that comes too late.
Okay? Correct.
Okay, so there's action that you're challenging.
I'm challenging their inaction, and that the statute says
their inaction's a benefit to you. That didn't hurt you. That helped you.
No, but I need a declaration because they're moving on to regulate my client's Natural Gas Act facility under the Clean Water Act, and I need somebody to stop them from doing that.
I'm not sure this declaration would do it. What is it that they're doing that could be stopped with an injunction?
We could have sought an injunction, but our view is that when Congress enacted Section 717RD2, they said the original exclusive jurisdiction over reviews of agency inaction was with the D.C. Circuit, and that's why we brought our petition here.
Now you're saying they're continuing to act to regulate your client.
And
they're challenging that in the First Circuit, right?
We have to break it into pieces, Your Honor.
That's under challenge.
Yes, with respect to Rhode Island. We have that challenge, and too, unfortunately, the judicial review provision did not make expressly clear whether we had to satisfy an administrative remedy at the state or we could go directly to the First Circuit. We chose to file in both places, ask the First Circuit to hold the case in abeyance while we waited on the action of this court on this petition. We also, because it was unclear, we initiated a state administrative appeal before the Rhode Island agency.
Can I ask you about the language at the end of D2, which says that the failure to take action pursuant to a commission schedule falls under 3, and that's not the case here.
That's not the case because the commission never issued a schedule.
What is an example of that? I mean, why didn't FERC, when it issued its contingent permit, set up a schedule, or when would this language apply?
The language would apply under the Energy Policy Act. One of the additional requirements Congress imposed upon the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and all various agencies that were regulating Natural Gas Act facilities is they have to move with some dispatch. So they gave FERC, they required FERC, or gave them the authority that when an application is filed, the FERC should issue a schedule that governs the time in which the various agencies get to act. Here, FERC never issued a schedule.
So
there's no schedule here. So that last part of D3 simply does not apply.
All right. So you've got a FERC contingent approval that doesn't even set up a schedule to make these other agencies act.
That's right. And to be very clear, the timing is always an interesting factor. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission approved this project on July 15th of 2005. The Energy Policy Act was not enacted to August, I believe, 8th of 2005. So they had already been through the entire processing aspect of this case. They issued it subject to conditions, which they always do. There's a myriad of things that companies have to comply with. And and one of those was this Section 401. We tried. The agencies did not act as required by the statute. After trying for another 2 years to no avail, we then brought to this court a petition under the new provisions of Section 717RD2 and asked that the court to find that that inaction is under the Clean Water Act waiver of the requirements of Section 401 as to this project.
Can I ask you how final is the letter of recommendation from the Coast Guard about the use of the...
The letter of recommendation of the Coast Guard is not final. At this point, my client has it on appeal, the next tier of appeal within the Coast Guard, which is the commander of the 1st District, and that appeal is pending.
What will be the final action from the Coast Guard? What will that be?
Until there's a final action, the next tier of appeal is to the Vice Commandant of the Coast Guard here in Washington. After the Vice Commandant has ruled, if he happens to rule against my client, that will be the first time we have a final appealable order from the Coast Guard.
So no wonder they haven't been in the LNG ports built.
Your Honor, and that, if you look at the legislative history, which we recite in our brief, you will see that's what Congress is trying to address when it enacted the Energy Policy Act of 2005 and put in place the judicial review provisions such as those at issue here.
I can't.
The only deadline that we know of is this one-year deadline on the states. In other words, FERC has set up no schedule in its permit.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Has the Corps or has the Coast Guard, well, not the Coast Guard, has the Corps?
No.
So nobody is under any obligation to do anything in any period of time.
And, Your Honor, that's the problem projects like this face, is that, and, you know, our opponents call it, let's try a death of a thousand cuts, is that you have to try to start taking care of these permits one by one. We thought the Clean Water Act permits would be relatively straightforward. Turned out that was not the case. That's why we're here today. And what we're trying to achieve by this is if we, in fact, can persuade the court to find that the Clean Water Act requires waiver in this circumstance here, we then can go back to FERC and say we've satisfied the requirements of Section 401 because there's waiver. We can go to the Corps of Engineers and say you now can continue on processing the Section 404 and Clean Water Act 10.
But I thought you said the Corps could disagree with us.
No, they don't disagree with you. It's the fact of waiver. They can decide whether or not to take into account any of the things that the state agency said in their water quality certification. They can include those provisions in their permit or they can ignore them. The state is not in a position to require the Corps of Engineers adopt those permits. Have the state, this is important, Your Honor, have the state acted within the time required by statute, it could force the Corps of Engineers or FERC to adhere to the provisions of their Clean Water Act permit. They did not act. They lost the authority to require that. In North Carolina v. FERC, this court addressed the very issue and said applicants have the burden to file, the burden then shifts to the state to act, and they have to act within that one-year period. And if they don't, the consequence is the state has forfeited its right to impose these requirements on the Corps of Engineers or on the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Further questions?
But it leaves the Corps free to take to impose those itself. It just isn't required.
It's not required. The Corps has the discretion to impose or not, and that's the whole essence of the 33 CFR Section 325 regulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'd like to begin with three overarching points. First, these cases were brought under a limited jurisdictional provision aimed at preventing delay. The sole remedy available is a remand. Second, both agencies have acted.
So would a remand be necessary here since both agencies have acted?
Pardon me?
Would a remand be necessary since both agencies have acted?
Remand would be pointless. It would accomplish nothing. And my third point is that the CORE's, sorry, the certifications at issue feed into the CORE's certification, the CORE's dredge permitting process. The state's actions have fully complied with the CORE's actions and regulations in that permitting process. These cases are misdirected at the states. Turning to the limited jurisdiction.
Remind me, I was just looking, I couldn't find it. I apologize for my poor memory, but I thought that there were CORE regs that address the issue of waiver and how the CORE is to decide whether waiver has occurred or not, and when the statutory
That's
clock
right,
runs.
Your Honor. Under the Clean Water Act, it is the CORE that is charged with administering the 404 dredge permitting process.
Right.
And the 404 process requires a 401 certification
Right.
from the certifying state. The 401 certification can only be construed in the context of the federal permitting process that is giving rise to that requirement. In this case, it's the CORE's dredging process that does that, and the CORE has established regulations at 33 CFR 325.2B2, I believe.
Okay.
It is cited in our brief, and it is in an addendum attached
right.
to the back.
I'm looking at it now.
And it does specify that
the language I'm looking at says, in determining whether or not a waiver period has commenced or waiver has occurred, the district engineer will verify that the certifying agency has received a valid request for certification. Now, that took place here, right? I mean, a valid request for certification was submitted by WCE, right?
For Massachusetts, the CORE regs place it on the responsibility of the certifying state agency to determine when a valid request was received. In the case of Massachusetts, it determined the application to be administratively complete in December 2006.
And they got their decision done within a year of that,
They
right?
did. They got an express extension by the CORE. They completed it within
but
that
Rhode
time.
Island never certified
Rhode
that it was complete.
Island
Is that
determined
right?
that the application was okay. never complete. That determination was made completely consistent with the CORE's regs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Your opening position on the brief is that these cases are moot by virtue of the agencies having which implies that the cases were alive before the agencies acted, that this was a valid case or controversy. You accept that?
Yes. Under this provision, it allows review of alleged agency inaction for the purpose of reviewing whether the alleged inaction is causing any delay, whether the two standards in subsection D3 are the court will look at whether the inaction, whether that delay period, alleged delay period, is causing the project, is preventing the project from moving forward and is inconsistent with federal law. If the court makes both of those two findings, then it can issue a remand, and a remand is the sole remedy available. It is not a general jurisdictional grant that allows broad equitable relief of the kind that Weaver's Cove is asking for. Further, under D3, it is clearly applicable here. To answer your question, Judge Ginsburg, D3, first of all, the schedules that came up, the FERC set schedules, could not have been issued in this case because that amendment, this provision, wasn't enacted until 2005. And in fact, this project had already been proposed well before that. So the FERC won't be setting any schedules until projects that are start in the pipeline after 2005. That's why this is controlled by federal law set schedules. There's no meaningful substantive distinction why FERC set schedules or review of alleged inaction under federal law set schedules should have differing remedies available. In fact, in Weaver's Cove's opening brief, footnote 20, Weaver's Cove specifically concedes that D1 and D2 are materially identical. And so...
So we don't get to the last sentence of 2?
It does not apply here, and it does not in any way suggest that these cases should not be reviewed under Section D2. Weaver's Cove's position is simply untenable. It's inconsistent internally, and it raises serious problems. On the one hand, they are saying that after 2005, the agencies had no authority to act any longer. Yet, in their reply brief, they have now conceded that the Corps does have the discretion to accept state actions, even if it is issued post-waiver, what it calls post-waiver. That makes no sense to suggest that a Corps could accept an issuance that it contests the underlying authority to even grant. It's also inconsistent with their conduct, which for the 2 years between 2005 and 2007, they were aggressively, fully participating in the review process. Then, Your Honors, on the other hand, they're now taking the position in the reply brief that, well, and sorry, on that point also, Your Honor, that the Corps, they concede, has the discretion to adopt state issuances. That would make a waiver from this court completely meaningless. If they are true in what they are saying, that would not bind the Corps, then even a declaration issued from this court wouldn't bind the Corps, would make this entire exercise pointless, which is probably what they realized, so that then in the reply brief now they are arguing that, in fact, they might well take this, any waiver declaration from this court and take it to the Corps and try and bind the Corps. That would be extremely problematic. It would violate principles of primary jurisdiction, supplanting this court's, the Corps' view for this court's.
I didn't hear them say that. I thought
it's in their reply brief, Your Honor.
All right, but today he is, I thought your adversary was saying they have the Corps has the option in giving these dredging permits. Okay, state of Massachusetts, you make a good point. Even though we don't have to adopt it, and even though you've waived this as a requirement, we think we'll add this onto the permit. I thought that's what he said.
The actions that the states took are out there, and it is up to the Corps, and totally up to the Corps, to adopt and incorporate them or not. And that is currently the case, Your Honor. In fact, that supports our position that the certifications are not actually even permits under Section 717RD. The certifications...
You've got a year to impose what you want in this 401 certification on the Corps, right? You've got a year. Isn't that what this intent is? And after that, the Corps doesn't have to impose what you want or listen to what you want, but it can.
That is correct. That is correct. Okay. And in this situation, the Corps has essentially agreed that it would accept Massachusetts's certification because it gave it a deadline by which it had to act, and Massachusetts did act by that time. So presumably it will accept Massachusetts's conditional certification.
Why does that follow? They set a schedule. That doesn't mean they acquiesce in the conditions.
It's a requirement under the Clean Water Act that the any conditions that are attached to a certification must be incorporated into the Corps' dredge permit.
But that sounds like it's inconsistent with what you just said to Judge Henderson, that the Corps could incorporate or not the conditions.
I'm sorry, I thought she was asking about Weaver's Cove's position. That's Weaver's Cove's position. Sorry for that confusion. Just to address a few points that Mr. Kiley made, Your Honor, he referred to the provision in 401, this whole requirement as being unambiguous, and I would just note that that different federal agencies, in their role of being the lead federal permitting agency, have interpreted this exact provision, Section 401, differently, which evidences the ambiguity that's there. For instance, the Corps interprets the language of when a request is received to give it the responsibility to the states and to have the clock start when a valid, administratively complete request is set. FERC adopts a different position. The fact that that is the case specifically attests to the fact that there's ambiguity. Further, Your Honor, the EPA, which Mr. Kiley points out administers other portions of the Clean Water Act generally, the EPA's position is completely consistent with the Corps' position here. It does not tie the commencement of the 1 year, it does not tie waiver directly to when an applicant sends a request to a certifying state. It actually includes flexibility so that the regional administrator of EPA can issue an extension under certain circumstances. That's completely consistent with the Corps' approach. It's also completely consistent with this Court's prior rulings.
So WCE would lose its, would likely lose its waiver argument in front of the Corps if the Corps followed its regulations and EPA interpretation. Is that right?
I'm sorry?
WCE would not prevail on their waiver argument before the Corps based on the Corps' interpretation of the waiver provision. Is that right?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor.
Yeah, I think the dates don't work out for them, so.
Yes.
So
and
it'd be
nice
for them to get a ruling from us to preempt the Corps on that.
Yes. And sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry, Dana.
Can I ask you, and I'll ask Mr. Kiley the same thing, what, in your opinion, is going to get this thing off the dime? I mean, what is going to happen next?
Do you mean for the project? For
yes.
The issues here?
For this
it's
project,
up to the
for
Corps.
The alternative project?
It's up to the Corps, Your Honor. The cases okay. here are misdirected at the states.
Okay.
The permits, the cases are brought under provision subsection D2 to review in action, and the court can issue a remand. Except the problem is that the remand is only available if the court finds the inaction prevented the project from moving forward. The permits, even once they're acted upon as they are now, cannot prevent the project from moving forward. That is because they, in and of themselves, have no effect independent of the Corps' process.
Okay, it is take us out of the equation.
Okay.
What is the Corps going to do next?
The
is
Corps,
it going to look at this alternative proposal? Is it going to say to the Coast Guard? I mean,
okay. The Weaver's Cove actually made two alternative proposals. One of them went to the Coast Guard. That's to bring smaller vessels. The other one went to, or will go to FERC. So neither of these options at this point directly go to the Corps. The way it will come in is because the activities are changing so much that the Weaver's Cove will necessarily have to make amendments or file new applications with the Corps, because the dredging activities that will be available, that will be necessary or appropriate for using the smaller vessels or for the berthing station, the dredging activities will necessarily be different. So the permitting, the dredge permitting process will have to be completely reopened and revisited, as will the 401 processes, because the 401 is triggered by the 404 requirement. And so it will trickle down to the Corps, and it will be up to the Corps. My best guess is that new applications, new proposals will be coming, and that all of this will have to be revisited in light of the new proposals.
Further questions? Thank you.
If I may just conclude, Your Honor, just Weaver's Cove.
I think we have your argument.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Kiley, I'll give you 1 minute to address jurisdiction if you need it.
Your Honor, thank you very much. Very quickly, Weaver's Cove needs a ruling on this Section 401 so we can move forward with the Clean Water Act. To Judge Henderson's question about the proposals, Weaver's Cove would like to go forward with the basic project, of which this 401 is an integral part. But because of all the hurdles being imposed upon it and by various state agencies, they have also will propose to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission an alternative proposal. It will indeed have to get Section 401 requirements, and one of the reasons we need a declaration from this court so we don't go through the same internal delay we did the last time. We will have to file with the states. We'll have to do all of that if that project goes forward, but our goal is to clear all the legal issues out of the way so the project already approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission can go forward.
But it sounds like to me that the one thing you have to do is get the Coast Guard to change its mind.
Yes, Your Honor, and we have done that through there's a legal avenue,
right.
And one of the other proposals is revising the number of ships transit and the size of the ships to try to eliminate their concerns. And so that's another one of the conditions, and that's just in another column of things we're trying to resolve.
Thank you, Mr. Kiley.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, thank you. Case is submitted.